Welcome back to your talk show on WCLO and streaming live at WCLO.com, by the way. Our next guest is someone that I am getting shivers on my spine just being able to talk to. If you saw the movie Heaven is for Real, you saw a incredibly inspiring portrayal of a story that our next guest lived through firsthand. And I don't necessarily want to play spoiler to the story, and yet I don't know how I can talk about what happened to your family and explain the upcoming event without it. So we might have to play spoiler. So I will kind of give the listeners an idea that this might be a spoiler alert if you have not yet seen that movie or read the book by Reverend Todd Burpo, who joins us now on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning to give us a little bit of a preview. I just will set this up in that as things have transpired from this experience, which I guess was about 8 years ago now, you and your son Colton and some other folks are now kind of touring the country, and you are coming to Janesville on Saturday, August 27th for a free event at Monterey Stadium. To kind of showcase what we're about to talk about a little bit.
Yes, we are. We get the chance today to visit with people, meet people, talk to people face-to-face, and we enjoy doing that. And one of the things, too, that a lot of people probably don't know is Colton's been really blessed with just incredible musical voice, and he loves to sing, and so he'll also be doing some singing. But most importantly, we'll get to talk about his experience and what it's done to change our lives and other people's lives. It did happen closer to 14 years ago, though, in 2003, when Colton, he almost died in surgery, and of course, as a parent, it was our worst nightmare ever, and it still is our worst moment, our lowest moment, and you're begging God to, you know, save your child's life. And when we left the hospital, we had a nurse come up to me, and I'll never forget this conversation. She pulled me aside. She says, "Mr. Burpo, you know, I don't believe in God." That's how she started the conversation. "But we don't understand why your son's better. This is a miracle. We don't understand this." And so I knew I left the hospital with a miracle. Even the medical staff was telling me that. But we didn't understand how big it was until our son started talking about what he saw and what he experienced and began to explain to us that he took a trip to heaven.
And I know that, at least as it's portrayed in the movie, Todd, that caused a whole lot of faith challenges, even for a person who is a pastor, as you are, as this unfolded, and you're trying to make sense out of it in the earthly realm. There were a lot of challenges that laid down in front of your family, your congregation, your community, right?
Well, it did. You know, here's this four-year-old walking around town just telling people what he experienced. And you have to understand, you can tell when a four-year-old is serious, and you can tell when a four-year-old is making things up. It's not like it was a teenager or an adult doing this. And not only would he stun me, he would stun other people, and it's like I'd have strangers come up to me. Well, not really strangers, but acquaintances in town. "Do you know what your son just told me?" And at the same time, here I was at home. I think, you know, I've always believed in heaven, obviously, as a pastor, and my faith is in Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, I didn't know if I could, how much stock I could put into the words of a four-year-old, even my own son. And I was really, really challenged by that. I didn't know what to believe about near-death experiences. I'd heard about a lot of them. I'd seen, you know, reports about them, but when all of a sudden your son has one and you go home, I was confronted with, what am I going to do about this? And it was quite a journey for us.
The movie portrayal, and I'm going to make the assumption, Todd, that the movie portrayal is pretty much accurate, and you don't have too many issues with how the story unfolds within the screenplay.
Well, to be honest, we worked a lot with Randall Wallace. The person who wrote and directed Heaven is for Real is the same person who wrote and directed Braveheart. I think everyone recognized Braveheart, mm-hmm. you know. And we had a really good working relationship with everyone who worked on the movie. They had to change some details, like, you know, the the town that you see in the movie was actually shot in Canada, and they had to change some of the names of the characters, of course,
sure.
you know, that surrounded our family. But, you know, by and large, they did just a tremendous job.
So,
matter of fact, I was even reminded yesterday, I had a person saying that when Greg Kinnear played me, she just couldn't believe how he nailed me. And I get ribbed for that pretty often.
So the story then, without my having talked to you prior, unfolds the way it unfolds. This story, for people who have not read the book or seen the movie, involves, I guess, at some point where it now becomes unmistakable to you and your wife that Colton visited heaven.
Yes.
Is when he presents you with information that he could not possibly have garnered from anywhere else.
No. You know, two of the people that he met in heaven, and I think, you know, I've struggled with this, questioned about this many times, like you said, but why did he remember certain things and not remember other things? But we'd had a miscarriage that we had never told our son about. You have to understand he was not quite four.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't go up to a three-year-old and say, you know, we had a baby that died in mommy's tummy without scaring him to death. You know, you just kind of, they're just too young to have that conversation.
Sure.
And he came up to us one day, and just totally out of the blue, he would say things, and we were never prepared for his announcements that he would make. And because we never knew when they were coming. And he would say, well, Mom, I have two sisters. Now, he has an older sister, Cassie. And we were like, what do you mean you have two sisters? We were trying to... Did you confuse a cousin or a friend? We just seen his cousin. He goes, no, you had a baby die in your tummy, didn't you, Mom? And I mean, time just stopped. It was just like, and I remember her turning to my son and saying, who told you that? How did you know?
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, the movie rendition of that moment, it was very, very touching, and they did an incredible job. But let me tell you, in real life, the pain and the peace that we experienced in that room in about 10 minutes, the difference between those two extremes was just incredible. Matter of fact, my son told her in real life that, well, she told him that she died in your tummy, turned to walk away, and my wife exploded. You don't tell me something like that and walk away.
Mm.
But at the same time, that hurt was so quickly replaced with peace. And such an amazing peace that God gave to us through our son. I think another thing, too, was I think we've all wondered, what do people look like in heaven? You know, even as a pastor, we know that the Bible says we'll get better bodies, different bodies, but what do they look like, you know? And another person that Colton talks about that was huge in my life was my grandfather. And my grandfather was killed in a car accident before I turned 7. And so that's a lot of years ago.
Yeah.
And my son had never seen a picture of him. I hadn't talked to him about him a whole lot. And one day we're riding in a truck, and the fact that I had a garage door business and was working on garage doors is all true, and he's riding with me. I'm going out to measure a building to replace some sliding doors and put in an overhead door. And on the way to there, he just starts talking to me. He says, Dad, you had a grandpa named Pop, didn't you? I'm like, well, yeah. And he's like, he's really nice. I'm like, well, yeah, I really grew up with him. And he goes, well, is it your dad's dad or your mom's dad? It was my mom's dad. And then he starts telling me about what I did with him, how I played with him on the farm, and how I worked with him. And I'm like, how do you know that? And he's like, well, Daddy told me. You know, I'm just like, and so he's giving me information, but he's never getting any detail wrong. I mean, the details are specific and they're correct. And so that led me, like in the movie, to find an old picture of Pop. And without even ever seeing Pop before, he identified the picture. And in real life, it was much harder than even how the movie showed it, but that was him.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are things that I think when people have near-death experience, some people try to use science or medicine to explain it away. Like, well, the drugs and... is playing tricks on your brain and causing you to have memories that are suppressed that you don't remember that are still in there and things like that, you know, kind of give you a euphoria sort of thing. Well, when you have a four-year-old that never, ever, ever, ever saw this man, okay, that's not a memory his brain can play tricks with him on. You know, I was absolutely convinced he had to meet Pop in heaven, like he said. There was no other explanation for it.
Well, And I think how you characterize it now, how it's characterized in the movie, why, Todd, you know, now having had to fold this into your faith life and your faith experience for the last dozen years, why is it that we as human beings are so unwilling to accept the reality that God exists, that Jesus exists in a form that we are able to recognize, that Colton could talk to? It shows in the movie. People just are incredulous. They're like, that's not how this works. Why do we have such a hard time with that?
Well, I think one of the greatest fears that people wrestle with is the fear of the unknown. And sometimes I think our fear of the unknown forces us to run to the other direction, where we want to have all the details, all the facts in front of us, and we want to understand everything and explain everything. And unfortunately, when people get hung up on that, that's where their faith kind of goes out the window. And yet at the same time, I see people all the time believing in things that they don't completely understand anyway. You know, like electricity is just a prime example. They think it's electrons being bounced from atoms to one to another, but science isn't quite exactly sure what it is. They know how to produce it, how to use it, how to make it work. We all believe in it, but I don't know if anyone completely understands it. And then you take something or someone like God, who is so much bigger than anything down here, and then you have this huge thing, well, he's so much bigger than us, how do we understand everything about him? And God the Father and God the Son is kind of confusing. And even though he says this is how it is, there's something about it, just our human condition, when we can't wrap our brains around everything, we just, rather than accept it sometimes, we just want to reject it and not think about it, which becomes the easier thing for our brains, but it becomes the worst thing for our hearts, I think.
That may very well be true. The experience had to have changed your whole family, and I often think of the phrase that people toss around all the time that says, you know, God will not give you anything more than he gives you the strength to deal with. But in your case, as a pastor, as a family man, a piece of the community, as the community starts to question you, as your congregation even starts to turn their back toward you, mm-hmm. The easiest thing to do would have just been to acquiesce and say, we're not going to talk about this anymore, and put it under the rug and try and, you know, undo the quote-unquote damage. What were you able to do to keep that drive alive, to see this through to the end that you're now at?
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to the nature of Colton. Colton is 17 now, and he'll be there at our event, and he'll speak, and people get a chance to meet him, and he'll sing, and he'll pray with people. But his character and his nature, Colton has always been just a completely black and white person. There's never been any gray in his life. And people that know him and meet him, you know, even when I wrote the book, you know, there was things in the book that some people were like, well, you know, that might be a little bit too harsh, or why don't we tone this down, or... You know, Colton says he remembers that everyone gets wings in heaven. Well, some people are going to have problems with that. I'm like, well, I don't care if they have problems with it. If we don't write this exactly as Colton remembers it, I want you to understand he's going to call you out publicly on a TV show or anything. When they made the movie, mm-hmm. It was like I told him, I said, you know, if you don't make it to where Colton likes it, let me tell you, he'll tell everyone it's bad. You know, he was like one of the greatest accountability things there. His nature is just, he's just always kind of been that way. Matter of fact, when I wrote the book, he was just 10 at the time when we were getting ready to publish it, and was getting ready to come out in shelves, and I told him, I said, Colton, you know, you're going to have to read the book, because we've had so many conversations about God. You're going to have to understand the context of what I wrote, so when people ask you questions, you know which conversations they're talking about. Well, he was a typical boy, and so finally I had to make him read the book, you know. So I told him, well, you know, 5 chapters a day, they're short chapters till you get it done. Well, at the end of the book, I asked him, I said, well, Colton, did you like the book? And he's like, well, it didn't put me to sleep or nothing. And then I go, well, Colton, is there anything you liked about it? And this is what Colton said. It's not on the front of the book, but this is just back to his nature and character. He says, Dad, that was the truth. You told the truth. Everything in there is true. And to me, that's the greatest endorsement that I could have.
Absolutely. You wrote the book how long after the experience?
It was 7 years after the experience that Heaven is for Real was a book. Yep.
Okay. And since that time, you know, if you want evidence that there are people that are still searching, that are still looking for this answer of what is my purpose and how does God fit and all that kind of thing, 10 million copies sold, New York Times bestseller, 182 consecutive weeks. That's over three solid years. Bestseller for 75 weeks. This is obviously something that people are wanting, needing.
Yes, and I think, too, and when people come to a Heaven is for Real event, I think a lot of people, I've had conversations, they're like, you know, I read this book, I saw the movie, man, I just want to believe that, but I just don't know if I can. I just want to believe that, you know. And I think when they meet us in person, they realize we're just normal people. I have people that travel to Imperial that meet us or want to meet us all the time. We've had people come from Norway, South Korea. Heaven is for Real is like in 36 different languages now around the world. And there's this quest where people are like, wow, if what this is true and how it supports the Bible is true and I can put my faith in it, this is so awesome. But I just got to meet them to make sure that these aren't invented people. They're just real people. Mm-hmm. And I think at a Heaven is for Real event, we stay, we pray with people, we talk to people, we want to meet people. And they'll see us talk, too. But the biggest comment I get after a Heaven is for Real event is people will walk out and say the Burpos are for real. And that's what we want people to know. We're flawed people. Man, we still have our issues. I was so mad at God when my son was dying, let me tell you. God didn't do this because we were great people. God just did this for us because he's a great God. And that same God, you know, wants to be a life changer for everyone. And I think when they walk out of that Heaven is for Real event, you know, that's the most common response I get. And I think that's the one that we look forward to the most because, you know, we want people to realize that we have issues. I think sometimes a lot of people think, well, if I'm just better or if I'm just good enough, then God will care about me. And when they look at us and talk to us and see how we went through this deep, dark thing and how God brought us out, I think abortion and even a miscarriage, a lot of people, well, what about that? And what happens to those babies? And can God forgive? All those questions become a reality that people have asked us, tough ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the list just go on and on. And we get to address those, answer those, put people at peace saying, you know what? God wants to forgive you. He wants to be in your life. And now, don't get me wrong. I think we all know this isn't heaven yet. But, boy, I'm sure looking forward to it.
Well, this is this story was remarkable. There's another little sort of side story that shows up just a little bit, and then at the end of the movie presentation, Todd, whereas as almost as if to have to underscore, okay, I know people aren't going to believe Colton. He's 4 years old, and you know, that's going to be a problem. Halfway across the globe is another young girl who is describing Jesus as she saw him in a near-death experience, just as Colton did, and apparently their descriptions are spot-on identical.
Yeah. Akiana Kramerik, you know, I've had a lot of people come to me and say, well, isn't it convenient that, you know, Colton's dad's a pastor. He's just repeating everything that you've taught him in church. And I'm like, no, he's not. You know, my preschool program is not this good. He's just a little kid. But that's one of the things that people use to cast a shadow on it, the story. So the very first person I talk about is, okay, well, have you heard of Akiana Kramerik? Never been to church a day in her life. Her parents really didn't worship God, go to church, you name it, and all of a sudden this same Jesus started visiting her. I mean, you know, to me, it just amazes me. Jesus is not limited by us to get the word out about him to people, you know? He can do whatever he wants to. And he started appearing to Akiana when she was four. It's amazing to me the similarities of the ages. But she didn't ever get sick. She just started having visions and started painting. And obviously, when Colton started talking to me that he sat on Jesus' lap and started describing him, I was a little bit envious. I mean, I'll just be honest. Sure. It's like, you mean you got to see Jesus. Okay, well, what does he look like, you know? And we'd have this conversation, and I'd take him places, and we'd go to hospitals, we'd go to nursing homes, other churches, and you'd see these portraits of Jesus, and is this right? He'd go, no, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And I had literally given up hope that I would ever find any depiction of Jesus that Colton would ever even say anything good about it. Like I say, here's this black and white kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone told me that, hey, you got to read this. Matter of fact, Glenn Beck was the CNN reporter at the time. Most people know he's moved on from CNN, but yep. He was the one that did a documentary on Aki Antichromeric. And when this documentary came on and someone watched it, pulled it up. I remember pulling Colton into my office, and it's like just like in the movie. I said, Colton, look at this picture. And he just froze. I said, Colton, what's wrong with this picture? I was so ready for him to tell me what's wrong. And he didn't say anything. Then he didn't say anything. He says, Dad, that one's right. Now, I wrote another book, Heaven Changes Everything. We tell more of the story, more of things that Colton said as he got older, and Heaven Changes Everything. We kind of finished some of the stories we started in Heaven is for Real. But one of the things I talk about is that painting, the Prince of Peace, about Jesus and what he looks like. You know, I expected people to contact me and say, well, we've seen Jesus, and he doesn't look that way.
Mm-hmm.
That has not happened. I have had thousands upon thousands of people reach out and contact me and say that painting's right.
Wow.
Yes. I'm more convinced today than I was because my son told me that that painting is correct because of that.
This is fascinating stuff and hopeful stuff, Todd.
It is.
And
you know, hopeful that, you know, God wants us to know him. And that's the whole message, I think, of Jesus, you know. God came to us in a form and in a person we could relate to know what God wants from us, how much he loves us, how much he understands us and cares about us. And it's kind of interesting, but like when I've talked to Colton, and Colton say, well, God, you know, with old dad, well, when I pray, I see a face. I know who I'm praying to. And it's like, I'm kind of like, well, God, thank you. Now I can kind of see the same face when I'm praying too, you know?
Yeah. How nice and comforting that must be in this world the way it is these days. You're coming to Janesville 2 weeks from tomorrow, August 27th at 7 p.m. It is a free event at our Monterey Stadium here, which is a very nice football facility. We play all of our high school games there. And what will folks experience at the Heaven Is For Real live event?
Well, I will speak a little bit. We'll have an interview. We always have a local personality that interviews us, and that's the main thing that they'll ask us questions. And so it's kind of one of those things where many times the interviewer will ask questions that the local audiences and people, they have a feel for people in the area and what they're asking and what they want to know from us, you know, not only about our story and what Colton experienced, but, you know, the making of the movie and what it was like to work with Hollywood, all those things people are interested in. But then there's also a time of worship. We have a band that travels with us, and Colton sings with them. And matter of fact, there's a couple songs that have been written for Colton that he sings, and he'll sing and perform live for people, too. And then the other thing we always do is we try to stay around and talk to people, pray with people, meet with people, because we want to make sure that, like you say, people know that we're for real, and we care about them, and we don't want to run off, and we just want to spend time with them.
Well, it is a great opportunity for people here, people that are searching, people that are skeptical, people that 100% are already on board with this, whatever. It crosses everybody, and if you come and it's not your cup of tea and you leave, I guess. But I think most people will be inclined to stay and listen and watch and participate in somewhat of a fascinated fashion.
Yeah, and we have videos and stuff we work in. That is one of the advantages. You know, when you are working with Sony and Hollywood, we have some nice tech things that we can use to help too, to kind of tell our story. You know, we've had a great experience with them. And I think that's another thing that kind of shows God's blessing on Colton's testimony here and validates it too, because not only has it spread around the world, but most people, when they hear about working with Hollywood, they hear stories getting twisted. And God has protected this, and they did a good job protecting the story, too. And to me, it's just another evidence that God endorses Colton's memories.
All right. Reverend Todd Burpo, thank you so much for sharing some with us today, and we look forward to hearing more from you on the 27th of August at Monterey Stadium.
Well, we're excited about it and look forward to being there to join you.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Blessings. Saturday, August 27th, Monterey Stadium, 7 p.m., free admission, first come, first serve seating kind of thing. Plan to be there. We'll probably have more on that a little bit later as it gets a little closer on. Interesting stuff. If you haven't seen the movie, haven't read the book, the story is will give you a little bit of a sense of hope in these times when all we seem to be talking about is bad stuff out there. Good stuff on the way. We'll be back after a break on WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.